St. Thomas Aquinas had a deep love for the Eucharist. And it said that he would celebrate Mass daily, but then he would also serve another Mass because he just wanted to be so close to Jesus. It's also said that in his writing, when he was coming across something that he didn't know how to articulate, that he would go before the Blessed Sacrament and lean his head on the tabernacle and be close to the heart and the mind of Christ. When he was writing that part of the Summa Theologiae dealing with the Eucharist, he felt that he had not done a very good job, and so he laid the manuscript before the tabernacle, and he heard in his spirit Jesus say these words to him, "Bene scripsisti de me, Thoma. You have written well of me, Thomas. You have written well of me, Thomas." And then Jesus asked Thomas a question. "What would you have as a reward?" And his answer was, "Nil nisi te." Nil nisi te. Nothing except you. Nothing except you. Saul of Tarsus, who when hearing the name Jesus was so enraged by that name that he was willing to go all the way from Jerusalem up to Damascus, and now having been into that part of the world, that is a long way to go, especially on foot. And he was willing to go all that way in order to round up the Christians and take them back to Jerusalem and to persecute them. But in that reading that we just had, from the 9th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, like Thomas Aquinas, St. Paul came to the place where he said, "Nil nisi te," nothing except you, because he began to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's the conversion, my friends, that has to happen in every one of our lives. To come to that place where we say, "Nothing but you, Jesus. Nothing, nothing, nothing. You are my all." And that's what is at the heart of the Mass. That's at the heart of today's reading from John chapter 6, where St. Thomas himself looked to articulate what we now know as the doctrine of transubstantiation. For 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has always taught that the deepest reality of the Eucharist is that the elements change into the personal presence of Christ, even as their appearance remains the same. St. Thomas, in that part of the Summa, where he talks about the Eucharist, argued that the consecration of the bread is indeed changed into the very substance of the body of Christ, and the wine is changed into the very substance of the blood of Christ. Even though the accidents, that is, their appearance, remain the same. So let's think about these two words, substance and accident. We might think, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, the substance we could call the reality, and the accident is what we would call the appearance. So what is the reality and what is the appearance? St. Thomas Aquinas taught that the deepest reality of the Eucharistic elements is that their substance changes into the presence of Christ, even though their appearance remains the same. And all of the sacraments are like that. When I was ordained a priest in the Catholic Church, my appearance didn't miraculously change. I didn't get a full head of hair. I didn't look 30 years younger. I didn't weigh 20 pounds less. It was still me, but it wasn't still me. Because with my ordination, the very substance of who I am has now been configured to Christ in such a way that I can say I am persona Christi, that I am here in the person of Christ. Or similarly with marriage, the sacramental understanding of marriage, that before the man and the woman say their vows to one another, they look a certain way, and after they say the vows, they look exactly the same way. But if we understood the sacramental reality of marriage, we would understand that the substance of who they are is not the change. It's not the same. They have changed. They are different. And this is at the very heart of our understanding of the Eucharist. When I was in Capernaum, it struck me as I stood halfway between the remains of where the synagogue was, where Jesus gave the bread of life discourse, and over on the other side was a church that had been built on the home of St. Peter. And what struck me was the following. Well, on the one hand, we have the synagogue where Jesus taught that this is his very body, blood, soul, and divinity. And over here, we have the house where the first pope lived. On the one hand, the Eucharist. On the other hand, Petrine authority. And if there are two things that have divided the church more than these two, I don't know what they are. The nature of who Jesus is and the nature of who his vicar is. But for us as Catholic Christians, we are grateful, we are thankful, and we are humble. Because we are given the gift of sight. Like St. Paul, we see Jesus for who he truly is. Like St. Paul, we see his church for who she truly is. And for us, this brings us into the place, well, we're to be like cows. Driving back from Edmonton yesterday, notice that, well, cows are doing what cows always seem to do. They spend a lot of time in the field chewing, 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 chewing. And they do it day after day after day after day. Well, Jesus said in today's gospel, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And you perhaps know this already. There are two root words used in this passage for to chew. The one is the word phagein, which is the normal word that we use in order to eat. But then the word changes in verse 54 to the word trogain. And this is the word for gnawing, for returning to it again and again and again, like what a cow does in the field as it regurgitates that hay. Or maybe like your dog does, if you give your dog a bone and just goes back to that bone time and time and time again. And so at verse 54, let me read it one more time. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Do you believe this? Do you believe this with all of your heart? Do you believe this with all of your mind? For nothing else matters ultimately in life than to believe that those who eat, those who drink, have eternal life. Why? Because the one who is eternal life dwells within us. And when we die and go from this world to the next, it's going to be, in some ways, quite a simple transition. Because we have taken Jesus into ourselves. And what's going to happen in heaven? Jesus is going to take us into himself. Isn't that beautiful? This is the gospel. This is the truth that we believe. And so may we on this day, as we come together to celebrate the Eucharist, deepen in our attitude of what is happening here. Deepen in our sense that as we take the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, that we will delight day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, to chew, to gnaw on his flesh, to drink his blood, so that we will abide in him and he will abide in us forever. What do you desire as your reward? May we say with deeper meaning, nil nisi te. Nothing except you, Jesus.